If you would please turn your Bibles to the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew chapter 2. I'm going to read verses 1 through 12. Very familiar Christmas passage. Can't let Christmas go by without reading about the visit of the Magi. Keep your hand here. We will be coming back to this. This is my text. And as I read it, I will remind you that this is the Word of God. And after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, Magi from the east arrived in Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. Gathering together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They said to him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for this is what has been written by the prophet, quote, 'And you, Bethlehem, land of Judah, are by no means least among the leaders of Judah, for out of you shall come forth a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel,'" end of quote. Then Herod secretly called the Magi and determined from them the exact time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. And when you have found him, report to me so that I too may come and worship him." After hearing the king, they went their way, and the star, which they had seen in the east, went on before them until it came and stood in the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. After coming to the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother. They fell down on the ground and worshiped him. Then, opening their treasures, they presented to him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned by God in a dream not to return to Herod, the Magi left for their own country by another way. Pray. Lord, not the focal point of my message, but we see in this passage two opposed viewpoints about Christ. There were those who worshiped this baby, and there were those who feared this baby. Herod told him that he wanted to come worship the baby too, but we know that was a lie. He hated this child was a threat. And we make note of the fact that even the Jewish leaders didn't go with the Magi. They stayed put. They didn't worship Christ either. But Lord, we do see, as the song we're going to look at this morning, "What Child Is This?" We do see that both peasant and king own him, that both the shepherds, who were the lowest rung of the ladder, and the Magi, as sometimes we call them, the three kings, who were in the upper rung of the ladder, both fell down and worshiped the newborn king. So, Lord, may we be in that group and not in the Herod group, not in the self-righteous who didn't see any need for a Savior and certainly wasn't looking for another king. So open our eyes, our hearts, our minds this morning, I pray. Amen. This week's song off my Christmas playlist is "What Child Is This?" The song says, "Haste, haste to bring him laud." Or, in other words, "Don't waste any time. Start praising him now." The question is, why? What has a baby done to deserve such a rush to praise? Well, it's not what he has done, but who he is. So we ask ourselves the question this morning, what child is this? First of all, we're going to look at the song's story, as we often do in this series. It's always the same pattern: the song story, the scripture story, and the Savior's story. Well, what's this song's story? Well, using the tune "For Greensleeves," William Chatterson Dix wrote a carol that evokes the image of the typical nativity scene. Jesus is there on Mary's lap. The The angels and shepherds tend to him. The third verse speaks of the presence brought by the Magi and the gift of salvation that Jesus brings in return. The author, William Chatterton Dix, wrote this hymn in 1865. One reason I like this song is that it was written by an ordinary Joe, or should I say Bill. He wasn't a theologian. He wasn't a pastor. He wasn't a professional songwriter. In fact, he was an insurance salesman in Glasgow, Scotland. Even more interesting is at the time that he was writing the lyrics to What Child Is This, William Chatterton Dix was afflicted by an unexpected and severe illness that resulted in him being bedridden and suffering from severe depression. He battled depression. His near-death experience brought about a spiritual renewal in him while he was recovering. During this time, he read and studied the Bible extensively and was inspired to write not only What Child Is This, but other hymns. Hymns like this one. As with gladness men of old did the guiding star behold, as with joy they hailed its light, leading onward, beaming bright, so most gracious Lord, may we evermore be led by thee. That's as gladness men of old. He also wrote this. Alleluia, sing to Jesus, his scepter, his throne. Hallelujah, alleluia, he the triumph, his the victory alone. Hark the songs of peaceful Zion thunder on like a mighty flood. Jesus out of every nation has redeemed us by his blood. That's called Alleluia, sing to Jesus. The first two verses of What Child Is This posed rhetorical questions with the response coming in the refrain or the chorus. What child is this? Well, he tells us. It is Christ the King. It is Christ the King. The final verse of the song is a universal appeal to everyone, urging them to accept Christ. It says, peasant, come peasant, comma, king, to own him. In other words, from the least to the most must possess or own Christ. From peasants to kings, from shepherds to the three kings, need to own for themselves Christ. They must possess the Savior. The carol's melody is often described as soulful and haunting and beautiful in nature. Well, that's the song story. What is the scripture story? We're not here to learn about songs. We're here to learn about scripture. Well, the context of the carol centers around the adoration of the shepherds who visit during the nativity of Jesus. The question posed by the lyrics reflect what the shepherds were possibly pondering to themselves when they encountered Jesus, with the rest of the carol providing a response to their questions. Now, this story happens later in Matthew chapter 2 when the Magi show up. But in the coming of the Magi, some of these questions that the shepherds were probably pondering are answered for us. So we ask ourselves, what child is this? What child is this? Well, he's a baby born to Mary. A baby boy born to Mary. The song says, the babe, the son of Mary. Look at verse 4, Matthew 2, 4. Gathering together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. This is an actual birth. This is childbirth. His mom had delivered him, as all of us are born. Verse 8, and he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search carefully for the child. So he's a baby boy born to Mary. He's an actual child. What child is this? He's one that was born. Verse 9, after hearing the king, they went their way, And they and the star which they had seen in the east went on before them until he came and stood over the place where the child was. Verse 11, after coming to the house, they saw the child. So this is a real event, a real birth, a baby boy born to Mary. But it was an unusual birth. Look back at Matthew chapter 1, verse 23. Behold, the virgin shall be with child. So again, it's a baby boy, it's a child, and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which translated means God with us. What child is this? Well, it's a baby boy born to Mary, but there's something unique. Verse 24. Joseph awoke from the sleep and did as the angel of the Lord commanded him and took Mary as his wife, but kept her a virgin until she gave birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. So what is unusual about this? What child is this? He's a bouncing baby boy born to a virgin. That's what is different about this. That is why Magi came from the east. This is why shepherds praised him. This is why angels sang about him. You go back to Matthew 1:18. Matthew 1:18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit. Okay. She was not married. They had not consummated the relationship. She was pregnant with a child, but Scripture clearly tells us by the Holy Spirit. Mary was a peasant girl. There should have been nothing noteworthy about this child, but there clearly was. Matthew 2:2. Where is he who has been born King of the Jews? For we saw his star in the east and have come to worship him. Look at verse 6. And you, Bethlehem, land of Judah, are by no means least among the prophets, among the leaders of Judah, for out of you shall come forth a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. He wasn't just a bouncing baby boy. He was born King of Israel. He was born King of Israel. Now, what's interesting about this passage is the Magi, or the three kings, we three kings of Orient are, all right, they weren't Jewish. If he was simply the King of Israel, why did they make this journey? It took them, as far as we can tell, months and months to get there. They were Jewish. They recognized that there was something else going on here. They recognized that he was more than just the King of Israel. He was the Messiah, the Lord. Look at Matthew 3:3. Reference to John the Baptist. Said, for this is the one referred to by Isaiah the prophet when he said, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make ready the way of the Lord, make his path straight. So John the Baptist was not just proclaiming about Jesus, he was claiming about the Lord. Make ready the way of the Lord. So he is both human and divine. He is both human and divine. That is what all the fuss is about here. Look at Matthew 2:11. After coming to the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell to the ground and worshiped him. You only worship deity. You don't worship humans. Look at verse 15. He remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet, quote, out of Egypt I have called my son. So he is the son of Mary, but he is the son of God. He wasn't just a bouncing baby boy. He wasn't just born king of Israel. He was both human and divine. Again, we saw that, Matthew 1:23. Behold, the virgin shall be with child and shall bear a son, and you shall call his name Emmanuel, which translated means what? God is with us. God is with us. Well, that's the scripture story. What is the Savior's story? Luke 2:17 says, when they had seen this is the shepherds, they made known the statement which had been told them about this child. So the shepherds, after being eyewitnesses, made known, they told the story about this child. What is it about this child? What child is this? Well, turn to the Gospel of John. John answers the question this way. John chapter 1. What child is this? Some people think that only Matthew and Luke wrote about Jesus' birth. But it wasn't only them. John did also. It's just that he started way before Bethlehem. Look at John 1, 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. So again, the question is, what child is this? John tells us. Verse 3, all things came into being through him, and apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. In him was life, and the life was the light of men, and light. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. There came a man sent from God, whose name was John the Baptist, as we saw a little bit earlier. He came as a witness to testify about the light so that all might believe through him. Now, he was not the light, John the Baptist, but he came to testify about the light. There was the true light, which coming into the world enlightens every man. He was in the world. There's your Christmas story. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world knew him not. He came to his own, and those who were his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become the children of God, even to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw his glory, glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testified about him and cried out, saying, this is he of whom I said, he who comes after me has a higher rank than I, for he existed before me. Again, John was older, humanly speaking, chronologically speaking, but he recognized Jesus existed long before he did. For of this fullness we have received, and grace upon grace, for the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten God who is in the bosom of the Father, he has explained him. What child is this, John? What can you tell us about him? Well, he tells us this child's story didn't begin in Bethlehem. This child's story didn't begin in Bethlehem. We always read the passages in Matthew. We always read the passages in Luke. But it doesn't begin in Matthew. The story of this bouncing baby boy doesn't begin in Luke. It doesn't even begin in the New Testament. What child is this? Well, this child's story was foretold by the Old Testament prophets. You look at John 1:23. and said, I am a voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as Isaiah the prophet said. Look at verse 41. He found first his own brother and said to him, we have found the Messiah, which translated means Christ. He's the one that they've been looking for since the Old Testament. Verse 45. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, we have found him of whom Moses and the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. So this child's story doesn't begin in Matthew. It doesn't begin in Luke. It doesn't even begin in the New Testament. It is foretold by the Old Testament prophets. Look at verse 51. John 1:51. And he said to him, truly, truly, I say to you, this is Jesus speaking, you will see the heavens opened and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. That's a reference to Genesis 28, verse 12, that we often call Jacob's ladder. In our Matthew text, the scribes pointed to Micah 5, 2, to where he would be born. Matthew pointed to Hosea 11, 1, out of Egypt I've called my son. Matthew alluded to Jeremiah 31, 15, concerning Herod's slaughter of the innocents. In fact, we're even told in Matthew that the very fact that he lived in Nazareth was to fulfill what was spoken through the prophets. His story doesn't begin on Christmas. It doesn't begin in Bethlehem. This child, what child is this? This child's story begins at the beginning. You say, duh. Does everybody's story begin at the beginning? No, I mean the beginning. The beginning of time. Look at John 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He, Christ, was in the beginning with God. Okay. All things came into being through him. So before there was anything, there was him. And apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. He, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. He is from the beginning of time. He was at creation. In fact, he is the creator. What child is this? Well, yeah, he's a bouncing baby boy, and yeah, he was born king of Israel. And yes, he was both human and divine. He took on flesh. But we must not forget he was at first divine. He's God. He was with God. He was part of the Holy Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. He was at creation. He is the creator. That's what makes verse 10, John 1, 10, so poignant. He was in the world, and the world was made through him. And the world knew him not. This child's story doesn't begin in Bethlehem. This child's story begins at the beginning. What child is this? This child's story is more than a story. It is salvation itself. It is salvation itself. He is the Savior of the world he created, he entered. Look at John 1:12. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become the sons of God, even to those who believe in his name. He is salvation itself. He is the focal point. He is the deliverer. He is the way of salvation personified. Verse 17, John 1:17. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ. Look at verse 29. The next day, he saw Jesus coming to him. This is, again, John the Baptist, and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." He is literally the avenue in which sin is taken away. He is salvation. He didn't come to tell us about salvation. He didn't come to show us salvation. He is salvation. That is his story. Verse 51, again, John 1, 51. And he said to Nathanael, he said to him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you will see the heavens opened and the angels of God descending upon the Son of Man." How do we get to heaven? Christ. Christ. He is the way to heaven. He is salvation itself. Because he is both human and divine. Again, verse 49. Nathanael answered him, "Rabbi," now notice, "you are the Son of God, divine. You are the King of Israel, human." All right, let's close with verse 14 and 34. The Word became flesh. Okay, who were we talking about here? This he was with God in the beginning with God. And who is this Word? Well, we're going to find out. "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us." And John writes, "We saw his glory. Glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth." Look at verse 34. John again says, "I myself have seen and have testified that this is the Son of God." What child is this? This baby, bouncing baby boy who was born the King of Israel, whose story doesn't begin in Bethlehem, whose story begins at the beginning. This God become flesh, salvation himself. What child is this? Well, the disciples saw it. They beheld his glory. John the Baptist saw it. He said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." The Magi saw it. The angels saw it. They all saw it. They recognized him as their Savior. Do you? Do you? Let's pray. Lord, we live in a culture that likes Christmas, but not so much Christ. They don't mind a harmless baby in a manger. That's fine. They don't mind this idea of celebrating a birth and exchanging gifts. That's fine. But this child is so much more than that. He is the only hope of salvation. He is the Savior. We must not forget that this baby grew up and said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man, no one comes to the Father but by me." So those who were alive at the time of his birth and life and death and resurrection, they saw him for who he was. They recognized, "What child is this?" Lord, my prayer would be for folks here this morning, the day too we come to recognize, What child is this? Who is he? He's not just a baby. He is Christ. Christ the Lord. Amen.